Brothers and sisters, God was using the example of the crocodile to awaken Job. In the last session as well, God taught Job that it was wrong to insist on his own righteousness and demand an answer from God. The crocodile is a creature armed with powerful jaws and tough scales, and it cannot be subdued by human strength alone. Likewise, no one can challenge God's authority or bend his will with mere human logic or argument. Sometimes we humans judge whether God's will is right or wrong. How stupid! We are merely creatures. God is God. But how could we, as mere creatures, judge whether He is right or wrong? He is also our Creator. But we, a mere creature, can we make moon? Can we make the sun? Can we? Just as God asked Job, can you make the rain, send the rain? Can you create wind? Job was speechless because it was impossible. He also asked, were you there when I made the sun? This is unimaginable. We cannot be compared to anything, but according to their benefits, according to their righteousness, people complain, argue against God. This is truly stupid. We cannot realize on our own. That's why they cannot meet God, and they cannot experience God's amazing works. Therefore, in order to receive an answer from God, we must not insist on our own righteousness, complain, and grumble. Instead, we must humbly repent and submit to God's will. In other words, we can only receive answers when we seek and rely on God, not by human ways, but by His. Through the crocodile metaphor, which continues in today's passage, I pray that you will recognize and fully cast off your own righteousness and be completely filled with God's righteousness and goodness. God asked in chapter 41, verse 6, will traders barter for him? Will they divide him among the merchants? In other words, can fishermen turn the crocodile into merchandise and sell it to merchants? The answer is no, of course. Today, with the development of civilization, crocodiles can be hunted and used to make goods like bags, wallets, and belts. But in Job's time, the idea of turning a crocodile into a tradable product was unthinkable. So what was God trying to teach Job through this question? This is... So what was God trying to teach Job through this question? He is teaching that God must never be treated as merchandise. In other words, we must not treat God as someone to turn to only in times of need or distress, and then ignore Him when peace returns. This is like seeking out a product when we need it, but tossing it aside when we don't. God is not a commodity we use. Among relationship with others, we may go to someone because we need his help and we serve him well and we compliment him. But after receiving help, we ignore that person. If we ask him again later, who would help him? He would tell us, you are taking advantage of me. And the when we need answers, when we need healing, when we need blessing, we may seek God's help. But after receiving His answer, we just live as we please. God was teaching Job of this fact through this parable. God is not a commodity we use at our convenience and discard when things go well. Therefore, God was teaching us that we must never use or treat Him as a commodity based on our own needs. For example, imagine a child who acts sweet and runs errands when they need something from their parents. But once they get what they want, they become distant and cold. How would that make the parents feel? The parents would be so upset. They would think, my kids only find me when they need me. It's not a love relationship. In the same way, some believers earnestly pray and serve when facing hardships or needing answers to their prayers. But once peace is restored, their passion and devotion cool down. We also seen this in the church. Some people appear in the church and works passionately because they are seeking answers and blessings. Because they've heard a word of God, they try to please God. But God cannot be pleased because He doesn't want a change of heart. If their passion does not change, Father God would joyfully accept it. But if the person loses the passion after receiving answer, God does not like it. While Job was not at such a level, when he had God's answer and blessings, he called God good. But when things no longer went according to his expectations, his confession changed. Because you have no answer or because you face hardships, conversely, Just as I said, when you overflow with answer, when you are filled up with the Spirit, you praise God, you call God good, and you are... But when hardships strike, when you are in trouble, you lose your passion, you lose your fervor. If you demonstrate such a change of heart, you are taking advantage of God. You have to discover such attributes in you. In Job chapter 1 verse 5, we read that Job would offer burnt offerings on behalf of each of his sons, fearing that they might have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. If he was that careful and devoted for his children, how pure and upright must Job's own life have been? As scripture says, this was Job's regular practice. He lived a life of fearing and serving God. However, in Job chapter 16, Job poured out words of complaint toward God. He said, God has shriveled me up, which is a witness against me. Lamenting that God has struck him and made him suffer, though he had always feared God and given burnt offerings, once hardship came upon him, Job began to speak unimaginable words, complaining against God. But true faith means being able to say thank you, God, even in the midst of trials. That's because we believe that God will restore us and grant even greater grace and power. When it feels like you are about to die, you praise God. Then, if God works for you, everything will be restored immediately. Because you have faith, you are well able to overcome, and you find things that please God. God wants this kind of heart from you. Yet, when trials and tribulations came, Job revealed his human weakness and ended up blaming God. If Job had truly trusted God as true God, he would have never resented God that way. in your troubles or difficulties, you have to acknowledge God and lift Him up. You have to say, Father, I cannot do it, but You can do it. If You work for me, this is nothing. I believe. I believe that You will work for me, and I will discipline myself, and I will be more pleasing to You. If you have this humble attitude, but if you just complain without faith, you have to fix such attitudes. Abraham, who truly believed in God, obeyed with an amen, even when God commanded him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. What kind of confession he made? He had to cut the bodies into different parts and offer them as burnt offering. But still, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. He believed in this great God. That's why he obeyed with amen. But if you have fleshly faith, he would have said, Father God, You have given me this son as a seed of promise, but why are You changing Your mind? God, why do people consider You have to shatter such fleshly thoughts? If you have such fleshly thoughts, such foolish thoughts, God is our great God. In your trouble, you have to remember all these testimonies. God manifests marvelous works. In the Sunday morning service, we heard a testimony that the person whose backbone was damaged, and the nerves inside were damaged, but with God's intervention, all the nerves were restored. As we hear that testimony, we cannot but smile, and we cannot but feel so happy. Even though that he felt numb, his legs felt nothing, but he restored, and he began to walk. He began to walk around normally, and he was discharged in just 2 weeks. How amazing God's work is! God is our great God, and this God is our God. It is also your God, my God. Once we trust in this God, even in our troubles, even in our peaceful times, we always overflow with praises, and we have to hold on to this God. Our fathers of faith, because they believed in God, because they believed in this great God, they obeyed. When they were in trouble, in contrast, Judas Iscariot, who could not believe in Jesus as the Savior, betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver because of his greed. Judas also witnessed the power of God. He also acknowledged that he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He also believed. Judas Iscariot did not follow Jesus with doubt. He also believed in Jesus, but that was not true faith. In the worldly sense, if we have no doubts, they say we believe, but the Bible does not teach us so. If we truly believe, we have to be followed by our deeds. We have to be followed by the deeds of a being. But Judas Iscariot was different. He always calculated because he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah. So if I follow him, I would also have authority and power. When he becomes the king of the Jews, I would also have power and authority, because he always harbored that desire in his heart. When he saw God manifest, Jesus manifesting power, he was
happy.
even though you have a heart filled of thorns, I mean, some of your Judas Iscariot was like when he saw that the persecutions grew worse and worse, and the people in the authority decided that Jesus was crucified, and the enemy devil complained that people just but some people just complain about God not blocking. I mean, in your workplace, you have shortcomings and you get fired from your workplace. And then he complains, Father God, why did this happen? Why did you give this trial, hardship? Is this prayer right? Because you are lacking. You got fired. So you have to repent, Father, because I was lacking. I got fired. So I will work harder. I will be more faithful. Please give me wisdom. When I try hard, please let me become a person who get acknowledged. If you pray that way, but some people ask God the wrong way. That's what God was telling us in the book of Job. God asked Job, can you God was asking Job that even so you have to also repent if you have complained and thought like Job. And Judas Iscariot tried to win the hearts of the people with power, and he told them that they can capture Jesus when he gave him a signal. Did God make him do that? No. The enemy devil instigated the people with power. And it's the enemy devil and Satan who did that. The enemy devil knows very well the evil of people. He would never approach Apostle Peter for that purpose. It's unimaginable. If we had done so, Peter would have driven away right away. But the enemy devil instigated Judas's carrier because it knew the heart of Judas Iscariot. That's why if you have someone who is troubling you, you may complain, Father God, why are you letting these people harass me? This is like manipulating God. You cannot make God do this and that. You have to discover such areas and repent in your life. You may have a lot of complaints. You have to such things also create the walls of sin. I just talked about the Abraham and Judas Iscariot. Just like this, some will say amen even if God tells them to die, while others betray God for their greed and personal gain. God never delights in betrayal or disobedience. Therefore, when he said to Job, will traitors barter for him Will they divide him among the merchants? It was ultimately to correct Job's wrong attitude of trying to use God according to his own needs. In your check your Christian life, check your prayer life. As you listen to the testimonies of others, you may wonder, why isn't God healing me but others? You shouldn't say that, but you have to first check whether you have become worthy of receiving answers and blessings. God continued in chapter 41, verses 7 and 8, "Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. You will not do it again." The harpoon here refers to a tool used to spear fish, typically a rod with a pointed metal head, similar to a trident attached to the end. Today, with advanced weapons, crocodiles can be hunted, but capturing one with bare hands is still impossible. In Job's time, it would have been more unthinkable. Not only was it impossible to pierce a crocodile with a spear or a harpoon, but even attempting it would have been futile, as its skin was far too tough for such weapons to penetrate. So God was saying, "Job, can you pierce the crocodile's skin with a spear or strike his head with a harpoon?" Just try to teach a crocodile with a stick. Then the crocodile would turn his head and approach you with his mouth wide open, with his sharp teeth wide open, and people will get intimidated. And as little kids, if a person gets once the crocodile opens its mouth, they will be horrified, and God meant to say, "Job, your speaking complaints and bitter words against me is the same. When you cannot attack and capture crocodile, and what you are doing to me is like trying to capture the crocodile." Job had been pouring out resentment toward God without hesitation. God was teaching him that to harbor resentment against the Creator like this is as foolish and senseless as trying to pierce a crocodile's tough scale with a harpoon and attack his head with a spear. And this message is not only for Job. Whether one believes in God or not, anyone who resents him or mocks and persecutes the faithful is in fact throwing arrows at God. Remember the Moses, as Aaron and Miriam condemned Moses. How did God respond? He took sides with Moses and condemned Miriam and Aaron. Miriam got leprous. She got leprous, and by Moses' prayer, she got healed. If you judge and condemn people that's why God said in chapter 40, verses 8 and 9, "Will you really nullify my judgment? Will you condemn me so that you may be justified? Or do you have an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like His?" May we never find ourselves in a position to hear such questions from God. Instead, let us remain humble and always long for His grace with a reverent heart. The next verses, chapter 41, verses 9 and 10 say, "Behold, your expectation is false. Will you be laid low even at the sight of him? No one is so reckless that he dares to stir him. Who then is he who can stand before me?" In other words, Job, the very thought of capturing a crocodile is futile. Wouldn't you get intimidated just by looking at it? No one dares to challenge such a creature. So how could anyone possibly stand against God? If even the crocodile, one of God's creations, is fearsome and overwhelming, who could ever dare to confront the Creator himself? Who would ever rush into a fight upon encountering a crocodile? No one would deliberately provoke such a beast. If someone saw a crocodile in the water, they wouldn't foolishly swim toward it. They would cross by boat or quietly avoid it. And yet, how could any human being think they could stir Almighty God? God spoke this way because Job had repeatedly said things like, "God, if you heard my words, then answer me," as if trying to stir him. Of course, God is not one to be stirred by mere words. Rather, it was Job who, through such words, was only revealing the evil thoughts accumulating in his heart. So then, what did Job realize when he heard these words from God? Job wanted to stir God, but in the end, he realized that he could not. And through this, he came to understand that this was not courage, but rather his own weakness and shortcomings. He was trying to manipulate God. He wanted to make God do this and that and provoke him and make him answer him. But it was such a reckless attempt and stupid attempt. Job realized this. He was also at this moment that Job began to learn how one can truly meet God. That is, he learned that God cannot be met through resentment, complaint, or evil, but only through doing good, rejoicing, giving thanks, and walking in His Word. This is because God is the Word, and He is... last week, I went to the Gethsemane Prayer House for filming my prayer. I just did... 30-minute prayer filming. I will also film other prayer videos like morning prayer, afternoon prayer, and I also, if you want more, I will also film prayer in different themes. As I talk with the staff, I was very surprised. Not because, and they said, I was very surprised by their confession. I realized why chapter 40, God said this in chapter 41 of Job. When I was, there are volunteers and also the secretary is helping me and other Christians. As I saw other Christians' prayer, as they saw other Christians, in their prayer and in their confessions are many, many resentment or complaints, which we are seeing in chapter in the book of Job. Some people go worse. "God, I want to die." They even make these confessions. As I heard those cases, I was very surprised. I was very surprised that Christians are... They are complaining that, "God, why are you not answering me? Even if I tried, why are you not answering me?" But
묵묵히 기도하겠습니다. 그랬더니 그 밑에는 저도 그런 마음입니다. 저도요 그런 상황이었습니다. 저도 지금 그렇습니다. 공감 공감. 그래서 저는
In the back of my heart, I was very, this was regrettable, but at the same time, I was very thankful. Even though they cry out to God, they cannot be answered. Even though they hold on to God in troubles, but God does not listen to them. Even though they don't know the way, even though they are in a difficult situation, but what about my members? We have the word that teaches us so clearly. So we are very thankful. No matter what kind of trials or hardships, we never say, Father God, it's so agonizing. It's... Even though we may have fleshly thoughts, when we pray, we don't say these things. But instead, we repent that, Father God, please forgive my fleshly thoughts. I believe that I can do it. But we don't say, Father, it's so distressful. It's so agonizing. Once we start praying, we cannot pour out such negative words. That's what we've learned. Because we've seen how our God is like. We cannot say such rude, such negative words. And because we have learned what kind of being God is, we don't say such negative words before God. And how thankful we should be for having been taught like that. And also how important our role is as mommy members. We are offering such clean and pure prayer. I hope that such our prayer, our praises will spread to more people. We should never resent God. We cannot meet Him. We cannot, and God cannot answer us. Then how can we meet God? We have to understand the attributes of God. Then we can meet Him fast. We have to discover what pleases God and do accordingly. Then we can be answered. Then what is the characteristics of God? God is the Word. God is the goodness itself. This is the character of God. He is the love. He is the light. This is the characteristics of God. When we God is the light, but if we are living in darkness and crying out to Him, then we cannot meet Him. My residence is in this neighborhood, but if you wanna meet me, you have to visit my residence. But if you go to some other neighborhood and look for me, would you ever be able to meet me? You have to come to my neighborhood to meet me. God is in the light. God is in the word. God is in the truth. Even though God is high, God has told us how we can meet Him. God told us that He is the Word, He is the goodness, He is the truth. And the 66 books of the Bible continually tells us. And when we meet such God, what kind of fruit do we bear? We come to experience true life and peace beyond words, overflowing joy and love fill our hearts. We rejoice, we receive answers and blessings, and in turn, give glory to God. We are not only happy, but God provides us with what we need. Therefore, may your lives always be filled with joy and gratitude, with prayer and praise as you seek and encounter God each day. The next verse, chapter 41, verse 11 says, Who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the entire heaven is mine. Having offered burnt offerings with all sincerity, Job came to believe that God now owed him something in return. Before Job went through trials, Job acknowledged that God blessed him, but he also thought that he did good things. He deserved such blessings because he lived faithfully. God blessed him, but when he no longer had answers and blessings from God, when he was going through curse, he began to complain. For example, we give tithes from our income and offer thanksgiving offerings, seasonal offerings, and building offerings as children of God. This is our rightful duty, and it must be done with gratitude, not to boast or seek recognition. It is also wrong to think, I've given offerings and served faithfully and worked hard, so God should reward me now. Why hasn't He? Of course, when we sow and act in faith, God surely blesses us. But if we sow just to receive and begin calculating, why hasn't God given me anything yet? Then our faith is still small and immature. This can happen. This is acceptable when we are novice believers. And even though we don't have perfect faith, if we do things when we show these, God blesses us. As such experiences pile up, we have faith and we believe that, truly believe that God is the one who blesses us, and we do things in thanksgiving and joy. But even after you've seen such works and experiences, and once you our sowing, faithfulness, service, and devotion are response to the grace and love we have already received, and they are stored up as rewards in heaven. So we have no right to argue why we haven't received something here on earth. Also, the very fact that we are able to give offerings, serve, and be faithful is itself a grace from God. Every moment we breathe, eat, drink, and live is fully given by His grace. If God, as for me, the fact that I'm praying, the fact that I'm delivering sermons, I realize that I cannot do that without God's grace. If I involve my thoughts, like, you know that I never memorized my prayer. I didn't take notes before praying. And of course, I set the theme of my prayer. I think about what to ask. I just have these things in my heart. And as I was filming my prayer, once I get filled up with the Spirit, I just speak fluently. But, I mean, when I was filming the lunch prayer, so I realized it was by God's grace that I can pray. Without God's inspiration, I would be concerned about the fact that I can pray, the fact that I can pray even for 10 minutes, but without the inspiration of the Spirit, I would be. You, church members, think that I can speak very fluently in my prayer, but actually, I don't actually enjoy speaking. Sometimes, I have no words. You know, when we pray to our loving God, we should have many words to say. If we have no words, that means we are not close to Him. So we have to, the fact that we can pray, the fact that we can deliver message, share the word is the God's grace. On Sundays, you are volunteering here and there. I'm very thankful. The desire to serve, the faithfulness is, and you don't calculate, but you do everything out of love. And you expect what kind of rewards you will receive. And you can also, like, think about how your crown, how your horses, how your houses are decorated. When you're in trouble, you can pray having these things in mind. Once, also you can, but if you only think about the fleshly things, and then God wouldn't answer you right away. And what a God saved me, the sinner who was destined for hell, and our Jesus saved me by His grace, and He died on the cross, and He saved me by His precious blood. How could we repay that grace? Even if with a lot of money, even if we give our life, we cannot pay back that grace. Even if we give our life, how can we repay the Lord's grace? And God has given us, so we shouldn't be calculated for God. And this is the, if God did not send sunlight or rain, or if we withheld the wind during the heat of summer, how could any farmer expect a harvest? If we had not set the tides in motion, how could the creatures of the sea survive? The mountains, trees, sun, moon, and stars were all created by God for our sake, so we can enjoy life on this earth. We have oxygen with God does not ask for the price of oxygen. God does not. What about the everything we have? So it's ridiculous if we calculate this and that before God. Above all, God gave His only Son, Jesus, as an atoning sacrifice and freely poured out the grace of salvation upon us. As it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because He first loved us. It was God who loved us first. Therefore, realizing that He has given us all these things first, we should give to God with even greater joy and thanksgiving. We should never be calculated before God. If you calculate, you're making up yourself a loss. How can we? It does not benefit us being calculated before God. We can just only be thankful for our health, for the fact that we can pray. Just think about the reasons for Thanksgiving, and then Father God will provide us abundantly. God went on to speak to Job about the crocodile's remarkable physical structure and powerful strength. Chapter 41, verse 12 says, I will not be silent about his limbs, or his mighty strength, or his graceful form. That means God will begin to speak. God explained the physical structure of the crocodile to help Job realize his omnipotence and great power. That is, God intended for Job to acknowledge the greatness of the Creator embedded in the creature and bow his head even more in humbleness. If even the crocodile, his creature, possesses such incredible strength and an intricate structure, then surely the God who made it must be far greater and higher and surpass in all things. By helping Job realize God's omnipotence and great power in this way, God was essentially saying to him, Job, you think of God as one who responds according to your thoughts, who appears when you call, and who easily grants your demands. But I'm not the one whom you can speak to carelessly or treat lightly. Brothers and sisters, who is our God? God is Spirit. In other words, He is the Word itself and the truth. He makes sure to fulfill what He has promised. Who does not change? And who is the righteous judge who will judge us between good and evil? He also created the heavens and the earth through His word, and He is the God of salvation who cultivates mankind and leads our souls to heaven. Before this God, we must acknowledge that all we can do is submit and obey. Just by seeing the crocodile's immense strength and remarkable structure, people are afraid and dare not go near it. Yet, even that crocodile is merely one of the creatures made by God. Then, how could we dare speak carelessly before the majesty of the one who created such a creature or easily demand from him according to our thoughts? Now then, let us take a closer look at how God described the structure of the crocodile. Chapter 41, verse 13 said, Who can strip off his outer covering? Who can pierce his double armor? Job is neither an armed soldier nor someone with special skill. So how could an ordinary man possibly strip off his outer covering? How could he pierce his double armor? Here, the phrase, to strip off his outer covering, means to claim the crocodile as one's own possession. By saying this, God made it clear, Job, you can never do that. Most fish with gills, most fish with gills become completely immobilized when their gills are firmly grasped. The same goes for crocodile. If their jaws are forced open and something large is wedged between them, they cannot close their mouths and become immobilized. Once that happens, it becomes, nowadays we can use anesthesia and nowadays also people remove the sharp teeth from the crocodile and to train them. So that, and it can open its mouth wide. How could once it bites its prey, it does not move. Once that happens, it becomes much easier to control or subdue the crocodile. When God asked Job, who can pierce his double armor, he meant, who can rule over such a strong and fearsome creature at will? This question figuratively described the situation in which Job was challenging God. That is, God was making Job realize that daring to confront him was a reckless and impossible challenge. To oppose God was something Job could not even dare to imagine, and even approaching him was something to be feared. And then, what did Job come to realize through these words? He realized that trying to possess God for himself and fulfill his own will was as reckless and foolish as trying to strip off a crocodile's outer covering. Brothers and sisters, if we wish to make a request to God or desire to receive His answer, as we remember how Job acted before trials, and he continued to and Job feared God and lived out of law, and he faithfully did good. And before going through trials, it's not that he ignored God or he feared God. So he also gave burnt offerings for his children. He relied on God, feared God, so we have to apply this message to us. You may say, you are not ignoring God and you are when his answer doesn't come at your appointed time, people get complaints and lose their faith and passion. This was trying to make, so we have to apply what God said to Job to our life, to our attitude. And some people complain, why God is giving greater blessings to the person and not me, even though that person is very evil, but why is he receiving blessings? God knows all our thoughts. And we also judge and condemn others out of our righteousness, and if we wish to make a request to God or desire to receive His answer, if we truly want God and wish to possess Him, we must know that we should not approach Him in such ignorance. Whatever we do, there is always an order and procedure to follow, as well as a system to determine whether one is qualified or not. Then, how much more important is our attitude when doing anything before God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and the master of our entire lives? Therefore, if you want to meet the president for some occasion, you, just because the appointment is made, you have to, and people would examine you. People would carefully examine what kind of person you are, and they would also educate you on how to deal with the president. There's a order and procedure. There's also order and procedure in meeting God. Therefore, if we desire to possess God's heart and receive answers to our prayers and petitions, we must not forget that there is a proper way to do so. Because we are running out of time, we have to finish here, and we will go on to speak about that in the next session. God desperately wants to meet us, reached out to us and answered us, but the people, even as the children of God, even as they pray, even as they even as they call God, Almighty God, God is great, God can do everything, God, you know everything, and they ask God to do, give them. But even though they pray like that, they do things that, then how can we? So please examine your life of faith so far and see whether you have been like Job or you have been worse than Job. You used to confess that you want to try your best, but when things don't go as expected, you harass, you bother other people, you bother people around you. If you have done so, you are worse than Job. So as you repent that way, Father God will answer you and bless you.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.